Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, everybody, to the No BS Bishop. I am Bishop Randy Dean, and I am alive to love. I believe lesser values than love fall into the rabbit hole, the dark cave of the miserable ways of trying to shame and blame people into our determined goals. We manipulate people if we don't love. We try to bait and switch people if we don't love. It is BS, bait and switch. We are here on this earth to love. We're not here to bait and switch. We're not here to try to convince people I'm right, you're wrong. So shut up, sit down, and let me talk to you. That is not the purpose of the human existence. The human existence is wrapped up and tied up and held up and secured by love. And love alone is credible with the human experience. So, that is why I'm here every Sunday and Saturday. I'm here every time I get a chance to talk to you about the subject of love, because I know, as surely as I know my name is Randall Eric Dean, I know that the subject of love is inexhaustible. It has been treated cheaply, that's for sure. It's been treated in a shallow form, that's for sure. But I have decided that there is nothing less than love that I want to research, study, embrace, unpack, carry forward, show it to somebody that will give me a moment and allow me to listen to their questions about love and to see if I can answer questions, because I don't believe we have thoroughly researched the subject of love to the degree that we ought. Now, here's why this is so vital for me as a pastor of 50 years. I'm telling you that it is the one law that matters above all others, and in fact, it encapsulates all the law and the prophets. The Bible says so. This is the purpose of God for His people. We're here, yes, to do some things well, some things with exercise and strenuous activity. But if all things are done without love, anything we decide we got to do, if it's done without love, it is nothing. It's not something, it's nothing. So before I get too much further, I want to do two things here. First of all, I'm going to give you my love's creed, something I wrote years ago that I believe is very, very important for my way of thinking, and I hope it is for you. If you want a copy of this, you can send me an email and ask for it, and we'll send you a copy of Love's Creed. I'll give it to you in total, come back, and I'll give it to you like I would vows at a marital altar, all right? I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I'm unavailable for anything less. That says it all for me. So let me offer it to you as a vow, as a creed that you would repeat after me. Unless you know it by heart by now, I'd love to know if you do. But here it is in short verse, and you repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. Those are words to live by. Those are words to make a 3x5 card, put it on the mirror of your bathroom, put it on the dashboard of your car, carry it in your pocket, make a copy of it in your phone or your device, and say it repeatedly. Give yourself the challenge to live there in that creed, not eating, breathing, sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I'm resting at night so that I can get up and love better, love more deeply, more strictly toward the goal of freeing others to love as well. Now, you all know 1 Corinthians 13, I hope. 1 Corinthians 13 was written by the Apostle Paul to a church. We all have that chapter often repeated, read. In fact, it was read in my own, mine and my wife's wedding ceremony. 1 Corinthians 13 is famous for what a husband and wife would commit to one another at a marriage altar. And yet, that is not the reason Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 13. Paul wrote those words to a church that was in need of discipline, a church in need of squaring its shoulders and becoming the reality that Christ died for and was raised from the dead for, so that that church would be what it could and ought to become in the image of the beauty of Christ. And so Paul comes after this gifted church. They had spiritual gifts galore. They had all kinds of ideas of how they could speak to their city in Corinth. But Paul saw one critical issue missing. He said, you know, you can BS all you want to the city of Corinth, but here's what he said. Now think of it in terms of if a bishop came to your church, if you have a superintendent of a district that comes to your church to bring discipline, if you have a bishop from a diocese of your church, imagine the pastor of pastors, the leader of leaders coming to your church and saying, look, there's a lot of things you all do that's okay and fine, but here's the bottom line. Here's the top shelf. If I speak with the tongues of mankind and of angels, and I do not have love, I become a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy, and I know all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. And if I give away my possessions to charity, and if I surrender my body so that I may glory, but I do not have love, it does me no good. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not jealous. Love does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act disgracefully. It does not seek its own benefit. It is not provoked. Does not keep an account of a wrong suffered. Love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but love rejoices with the truth. It keeps every confidence. It believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But if there are gifts of prophecy, they'll be done away with. If there are tongues, well, they'll cease. If there is knowledge, it will be done away with. For we know in part and prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will be done away. When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. But when I became an adult, I did away with childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know fully, just as I also have been fully known. But now faith, hope, and love remain. These three, but the greatest of these is love. I know many of you have heard that, but I would love for you to hear it like you've never heard it before, read it like you've never read it before, and recognize that when Paul is saying, when I was a child, I spoke like a child, but now that I'm an adult, I did away with childish things. It is to say that anything less than love is childish. Anything less than love is just a growth process, because the result of all the things we may do has to have as its pinnacle, as its law, as its reach for the best and the perfect, really, is to love. When I became an adult, I did away with childish things. We're just looking in a mirror dimly, but then we will know as we are known. Listen, that to me says that when I love, then I'll no longer just be gazing at some imperfect image of myself. But love brings me to a full, complete image, not only of myself, but of others. Love raises my sights out of the ditch, out of the pit of blaming and shaming and finger-pointing and criticism. Reaching for love means I'm reaching to improve my own soul and make the souls of others richer as well. So that whole chapter of 1 Corinthians 13 is, I think, to be read for my maturity, your maturity, our growth process to get out of being easily provoked and being people who just know that love will prevent my provocation and prevent me from becoming provoking to others. That I'm not going to rejoice in things that go wrong that prove me right, but I'm going to rejoice with truth even if I'm proven wrong. Keeps every confidence, knowing that as people share their hearts with me, that I'm going to hold that in utter, complete Fort Knox-like confidence. And I will believe things. I will hope things. I will endure all things, because that's what love does. It recognizes that just giving my clothes to the poor isn't a big deal unless it is done out of real, significant, and activated love in my heart. When I see the poor, when I see the disadvantaged, then my heart is filled with love toward them. Now when I give, now my gift is something far more than just the material that I may give away. To love someone is to see them as they are, not to see them from our own vantage point, not to see the world as we are, but to see the world as love looks at the world. And so when Jesus comes along, he said to his disciples, "Boys and girls, I've got a new sheriff in town, and that sheriff is love." He said, "There's one law. There's one mandate on Monday, Thursday." The word Monday means the mandate. On that Thursday night, Jesus said, "I have one law, love." One place Jesus said, everything about love is what everyone will look at and see in you and say, well, they must be the followers of Christ. Jesus said, look, you've heard all the other commandments in the Gospel of John 14. He said, you heard all these other commandments. They're all fine and good, but the whole law and prophets is fulfilled with one new commandment, and that is love. The whole law, you know, Paul says in Galatians, all of the law is fulfilled in love. And then he says, you know, if you want to bear one another's burdens, you will fulfill the law of Christ. And what is the law of Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. The law of Christ is love. There's a new sheriff in town, ladies and gentlemen. There's a new sheriff on the earth, and that sheriff is full of the law of love. What will love look like when we enforce it upon ourselves first, before we seek to enforce it on anybody else? To model love, to demonstrate love, to live love, to rise to the pinnacle of love is what we're being challenged to do. And to know that when we have loved, we have truly grown up. And that's what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. When I was a child, I didn't love, but now that I'm an adult, love, love, love is what makes me mature. To win an argument doesn't make me mature. To overcome somebody, to defeat somebody, that doesn't make me mature. What makes me mature is to love for a greater purpose than being right, than proving others wrong and proving myself right. Love is the platform of a mature life. Love is the standing upon which we understand others rather than forcing all others to understand me. Love is the law that requires of me seeing the bigger picture of a person's life than to see the immediate and make a judgment so fast that I've never even learned their name, much less learned their pain. I've never sought to know their pain, and I may even know their name, but I don't know their heart. Love is the way that I really discipline my heart and my thinking and my meditation. Love creates for me the platform of a thought life that is healthy for me, lowers my blood pressure, lowers my antagonism toward others. Love allows me to rest, and when I rest, I can love. See, I believe love is the true rest of anyone who seeks to live a life that has beauty and significance and confidence to it. The rest of life is to live the love of life. I know that many of you listening are feeling often that you have not been loved as you would hope to have been. I know that I've been there many times myself, hoping and wishing for love, and then love was elusive. It didn't seem to come toward me the way that I had hoped it would come. But then when I turn off that direction, now hear me carefully. It's okay to consider how you've been deprived of love, but don't live there continually. Ponder the greater purpose of how do I love forward when I've been on a loss and in a loss for love. How do I love out of the negative that I've been forced into? And that happens. It does happen. I have said here many times that when we love and we're rejected, we rise to the majesty of God, because there is no love more rejected than the love of God. So we now have an opportunity to live as God lives, as God loves. And that gives us a deeper perspective of love, a greater purpose for love. It causes us to recognize that when we have loved well, whether it's received or not, we have lived well. But when we are on the starvation side of love, when our calorie intake for love has been slim to none, when we're malnourished from having a love loss, it's really important to acknowledge it. Don't pretend it doesn't hurt. Don't pretend that you don't feel it. Don't pretend that you're okay when you're really not okay. Because when we love ourselves enough to be honest, well, then now we can speak out of that pain and create for ourselves not a self-pity or a search for pity from others. But we create for ourselves an honesty, and honesty is the beginning point of recognizing that we now can get in a better place to receive love. I'm convinced that we are all capable of loving and being loved more and more and more and more and more. I could say it on and on. We are all capable of loving and being loved more and more. So that becomes the rich receptivity. When we give, we receive. What we receive, we give. You can't keep what you've received if you don't give it away. Giving love away is it is the guarantee that we are now invested into a true pay back when we invest well. Love never fails. And to that end, in 1 Corinthians 13, I truly believe that if you will, it's the stock you can invest in, and that stock will never fail. Oh, it'll take time, perhaps. It'll take some time to come back, but it will come back. It will rebound into your life. And so to that end, I'm here week in and week out, seeking to challenge you, inspire to call us all forward, to recognize, as I said at the beginning here, there's a new sheriff in town, and that sheriff's name is love. There's one law. It's love. I know there's been controversy in the United States of late where we should have the Ten Commandments on every courthouse. Well, maybe we ought to have the one commandment on every courthouse, love. I believe that love, and love alone will challenge every crime and criminal to a life that is better, not bitter. And it will challenge every victim of every crime to rise out of the ashes and the hurt, the desperation, the pain of that crime. recently read the story of a grandfather of one of the children at the elementary school in Uvalde. This grandfather was an 80-year-old man who had taken his granddaughter to school that fateful morning when there was that terrible shooting. This grandfather dropped his granddaughter off, as he did every morning, because that was his pleasure to do so and his responsibility to the family to help the mom and dad of that little girl. And when he went home, which was just a few blocks away, he just walked home. And when he walked home and got there and started to tend a garden, he heard the gunshots. And something in his soul snapped and said, "Oh my, that can't be good." And then he found out the ultimate reality, the painful reality, that his little granddaughter was one of the victims who was killed. That grandfather, by the way, was the pastor of that granddaughter's church. He held and officiated the service of her funeral. And in the funeral, it is reported that he said, "I heard a voice inside of me screaming for revenge. I heard a voice inside of me just full of rage. But I heard a louder voice, and that louder voice was the voice of love. And that voice of love said to me, 'You cannot live in rage for the rest of your life. You cannot let rage and revenge own your priorities or own your thoughts.'" He said at his granddaughter's funeral, he said, "I have listened to the voice of Jesus, who said there is one law, and that law is love. I do not say that by love that I can take away the crime, that I can make this criminal innocent of their crimes, but I can say this: it will keep me in an innocence of the beauty of a greater and better life." Ladies and gentlemen, it is love and love alone that is credible for our living. Where we go with the pains of our hearts, where we go with the disappointments, where we go with the malnourished attitudes that we run into, where we go determines all of our own fate. And if we decide that my fate will be to love and that I will have loved well in the face of all lesser things, then I'm not going to try to BS my way through life. I'm not going to try to convince people of one thing when the truth is inside I'm dark and hurting. I'm going to love my way out of every hole. I'm going to love my way out of every disappointment. I refuse to lower my expectations to the levels of my disappointments. I would rather fail in the reach for love than to succeed at the failure of revenge. I would rather reach for love and stumble than to have just lazily laid down and given in to revenge and spite and succeed at the mediocrity of that sort of pain. The reach for love is always worth it, even if I stumble in the reach, even if in my reaching I fall into a puddle that I was trying to jump over. I heard a story many years ago of a gentleman who was traveling through Colorado, and they saw the waters that were streaming down little bluffs and into a little pool of open rock. And he decided, "Oh, I want some of that cool water." He said, "I bet it's fresh and cool." And he was barely able to reach for a little handful of it just to splash it on his face. And when he reached over to reach it for that little drip of water falling off a bluff, he slipped and he fell into the rocks and the water, and he got himself all wet and a little bruised. And he said, "When I got up, I laughed and I realized, yep, that water's refreshing, all right. It woke me up. It stirred me up." And he commented about how he will never regret having reached for it, even though it caused him to stumble. Well, I close this broadcast every episode with two exercises, and that is, I want you to reach for love by breathing well. Give yourself the opportunity to take in a good cleansing breath and exhale gratitude. On the count of three, I want you to breathe as deep as you can and hold it for 1 second. One, two, three. Breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. Second exercise is, say, "I love you." use. Now, before we say it to somebody or you see somebody near you to say it, practice it. Slow those words down. They're magical. They're charmed. They're full of music and poetry. I love you. Now, find somebody to make eye contact with. Oh, yeah, it can be awkward, but you'll get over it. In fact, you'll get to the point where you rejoice in the opportunity to say the words that express the one law of all humankind that matters, that makes us grow up. I love you. You can say it to the mirror if you need to practice it, but keep eye contact. Keep your heart focused. Keep your mind steadied in those three words. And it really will change everything. Read 1 Corinthians 13 slowly and like you've never heard the words before. And remember love's creed. I'm alive to love. I'm not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. Please go out there living that, loving life through that creed and through 1 Corinthians' beautiful expression, and you will change your world. Even if you don't change the world every day, you will change your world, because all around you there will be a buffer, a beautiful buffer of love that you have created not only for others, but you've created for yourself. Remember what that grandfather, that pastor of that little church in Uvalde said. I heard a voice of rage, but I heard a better voice saying to me, love is the only way. Thanks for being here today. I'm the No BS Bishop, Bishop Randy Dean. I am so thrilled that you gave me a half an hour of your life and time. Now go out there and do something beautiful, because you know, oh baby, you know, ugly has been done to death. It is time for the beauty of love to own the airwaves and to own our lives. Happy trails, y'all.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.